Good morning. Just getting my stand. So I'm going to start with a little quiz because I know Dave likes to, so I'm making him feel good. So what is the most important part of the human body? Who can answer that?
Little finger.
Little finger, okay. Anyone else? The heart? Brain? Lungs? Blood? There's so many important parts in the human body, and it's pretty difficult to imagine without functioning, how to function without any of them. Like, who wants to lose their foot or their finger, little finger? I mean, we need all those parts. And one of the images that the writers of the New Testament use for the church is the human body. So the church is often called in the Bible the body of Christ. And part of that is to show that every part of the body is important. We need every part. We can't afford to lose any part of the body. And so often as Christians, we think of church as a place we go maybe to find out more about God or to find a good program for our kids or to make friends. But the Bible envisions the church as an organism that works together to do God's purposes. So this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about, the church as a body. So the last few weeks, we've been going through a series looking at the values that drive our vision as a church. And so our vision as a church is to glorify God, to reach people, and to see them transformed. A couple of weeks ago, Mark talked about our first value. And our first value is that we are a church that is reliant upon God. That we believe that the church is at its best when it's rooted in Scripture, when it is reliant on the Holy Spirit. And as a church, we affirm the authority of God's word in our lives, and we embrace a pray-first mentality, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us. Last week, Pastor Brendan talked about our second value, and that is relational ministry. So we seek to nurture an environment in this church where our relationships flourish, where we model the love of God for one another and for our neighbors that is at the heart of Jesus' kingdom. This morning, we're going to talk about our third value, and that is participation. So we seek to encourage and equip each member of our community to use their God-given gifts to serve God's purposes in the church, city, and world. And so the church is like a human body. There are many parts, and each part is vital to the body's health and function. Everybody has something to offer. So let's pray. So God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the ways that you have moved us and led us. We thank you for the vision that you have made so clear in your scriptures and for the values that you've called us to. And so this morning as we talk about participation, I pray, God, that you will confirm and affirm who we are as a body together and what you're calling us to. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 12:27, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So rather than the church, again, being a place where we go to get something we might need, the church is meant to be a fully functioning, active organism. It's a place of engagement where we serve and we're actively working to fulfill Jesus' purposes on the earth. Now, our central text today is Romans 12, 3 to 8. So if you have your Bibles or your pew Bibles or your electronic devices, turn there. And we're going to start by looking at the introduction to this passage, and it's a well-known verse. It's written by the Apostle Paul. So let's read together Romans 12, 1. Okay, if we can scroll back to Romans 12, 1, that'd be great. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So up until this point in the book of Romans, Paul has been talking a lot about God's mercy, God's compassion for the weak, and his grace for the guilty. And in the book of Romans, he's talked about how as humans we are sinful and how we've turned away from God. We found life in other things, in ourselves, in things God has created. And by doing this, we as humans have been working against what God is trying to do in the world. And so by doing this, we have made ourselves God's enemies. And even though this is true, even though humanity has become God's enemy, God loved us so much that he was committed to making us friends. And so God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins to restore our friendship with God. And so when Paul says in Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy, this is what he is talking about. He's talking about God's mercy and self-sacrifice for us so that we can be friends with God. And so in view of God's mercy, we are called in turn to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, giving back to God what God has given us. Now, if Paul goes on in verse 2 to explain one of the key ways we can offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and he says one of the ways is not to be conformed to the way the world works, but to be transformed so that we can see things the way God sees them. And then he goes on in verse 3 to talk about how being living sacrifices will impact the way we think about ourselves and the way we participate in the church and the world. So let's read from verse 3 to 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so we when we look at this passage, we need to remember the context, that God's mercy is the context of these instructions from Paul. That because of God's mercy, we're called to be honest with ourselves, to have sober judgment, and we are also called to be members of the body of Christ. And so first of all, who are we together? We are people who are united together by Jesus and in Jesus. And as we come to faith, we're connected into what Paul calls the body of Christ. And this is the church universal. And this is a change to our identity. Our identity is no longer found in ourselves, in our gifts, in our strengths, in our passions. Our identity is no longer found in our careers or in our nuclear family. Our identity is now found in Jesus and in being part of the body of Christ, which is made up of other people who have also experienced God's mercy. And that's why we can go anywhere in the world and meet someone who is also part of the body of Christ and recognize them as our brother or sister, because we're all part of this one body, and so we're unified. But in unity, we're also diverse. And so each one of us contributes to the body in a different way, as Paul alludes to here and also speaks about in 1 Corinthians 12. So although each of us are members of the body, we're all different parts. Some of us are a hand, some of us are a foot, some of us are an ear, or those fortunate ones, the mouths, who can speak a lot. But we all need each other to function. We can't function on our own. Each of us has strengths and weaknesses, and we need each other to do what Christ has called us to do. We can't do it on our own, but together we can. So Paul encourages us in this passage, whatever our gifts are, that we use those gifts well, not to build up ourselves or our own personal families, but to serve the whole body of Christ. So our gifts are given to sustain Christ's body, to enable Christ's body to live out its call, so that we're participating with God in building for God's kingdom, his kingdom of love and peace and flourishing. So Paul, in this passage, gives a few examples of the gifts that people might have. He talks about prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. And these aren't the only gifts there are. These are just some examples of possible gifts. But Paul encourages us, whatever our gifts are, to use them with faith and to have a realistic view of ourselves. So remember, these gifts aren't for us as individuals, but they're to help the body function. They're not given us so we can promote ourselves or be really special, but to do the work Jesus has called us to do. And so this is different than what we might see in our schools or our workplaces, where our gifts are often a chance to stand out from the crowd, to get ahead, to make good money, to promote ourselves. The gifts that we receive as part of being the body of Christ are not about our own ambition. They're really about seeing ourselves realistically and part of the body. Because of God's love and mercy, we no longer need to stand out from the crowd, because we know that we're loved. We know that we are sons and daughters of God, and so we don't need to be affirmed by our strengths, and we can offer our strengths as a gift to others. And so in the church, we're called not to think individualistically. So what do I need from this church, or what do I get out of this, or what is God calling me to? But we're asked to make a shift and to say, what is God calling us to, and what is my part in that? How can my strengths and gifts contribute to what God is calling us as a community to? And that's a really big shift for us as Westerners who are kind of individual people. It's very hard for us to think as a group and to think about doing things together. But the scripture really emphasizes that we are dependent on each other, because we are just members of the body. We're a hand or we're a foot. We can't do what God is calling us to do alone. We need to do it together. And again, this isn't just when it's convenient for us or when we feel like doing it, but we're called to self-sacrificing giving of ourselves, to serve with faith and with diligence and a positive attitude. So I've been a part of the church for most of my life, and I've noticed that often in a church there's a core group of people who work really hard, and then there's others who don't. They come. So I wonder, what might keep us from serving? What might keep us from using our gifts and contributing to the body? So I think some of it is of a lack of understanding. We don't get that that's actually part of our responsibility. So now I've explained it to you, now you know that's no longer an excuse for you. The second thing I think is busyness. And we live in a culture, even though we have so many conveniences that our parents and grandparents didn't have, where we're so busy, it feels like I just can't add one more thing to my list. And I actually had a conversation with one of our key volunteers. He has his own business. He's the father of two young kids. And both he and his wife serve in several different places in the church. And I asked him, why? Why do you serve? And he said he serves because he loves the church, that being around the church is something he has always enjoyed. And he said also he has spent some time thinking and reading about the persecution the church faces around the world and what challenges there are for being a Christian in places like Eritrea or Ethiopia or North Korea. And he says that he feels that his family's sacrifice for serving in our church is so much less than believers in other places in the world are sacrificing. And he also remembers Jesus' call saying, if you want to follow me, you need to carry your cross. And so this motivates him to continue serving in the midst of his busyness. Another reason people might not serve is a lack of knowledge about themselves or a lack of confidence in themselves. When I was a new Christian, I felt like I was doing a really good job if I just showed up for church. And when I started to get more committed to my faith, I thought, okay, it's time to try and serve. But I had no idea what I was good at. So I went home from my first year of university, and I thought, okay, I'm going to try and serve in a couple places in the church this summer and see what I'm good at. So I picked two things. I joined the choir, and I helped out with the youth ministry. And I found out pretty quick that choir was not my thing, when people would give me strange looks when I was standing beside them. So choir was out, but I really loved my work with the youth ministry. I loved connecting with kids and talking about Jesus. And so when I went back to UBC that year, I began to lead small groups, and I began to help a Christian club there organize outreach events. And I found out that those are some of the things that I was good at, that I was gifted at. And this was sort of the beginning of my service in the church. And so if you've never served in a church, you don't know what you're good at, look for some things that are needs and try it and see if you're good at it. See if that's something that God has gifted you for. Now, I want to give you a chance not just to hear from me, but to hear from some other people who are serving in the church. So I've invited some people to come up and join us. So come up now. Guys. Okay, I better get them. If you don't know how to turn on the mic, I'll turn it on for you. Let's see. This one's on. That one's not on. Dougald, if you can turn it on, or Alex. So here's my panel. They're a diverse group of people, different ages and stages of life. And there's one person missing from the panel, which is Lynn Gunther. She promised me if she had her baby by Thursday, she would attend. But she had her baby on Saturday, so we're one short. But anyways, hopefully this will go well. So why don't you guys just each introduce yourself and tell us what areas you serve in the church.
Sweet. Hi, everyone. My name is Alex. In the church, I've just finished helping out with the preteens ministry. I was the grade 5 boys leader. When youth was still a thing, I was really involved in the youth worship team. And also at my school, I ran this faith club that just wrapped up as the year is ending, where people come in and get a chance to hear about Jesus.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caroline. I'm a facilitator for Alpha and Beta, and I've helped with CityFest, and I'm a photographer for Flow Camp, and I help with Christmas North Shore Community Christmas Dinner, and I've been trained on the sound team, a couple other things.
Hi, my name's Dougald. I am a greeter every third week. I'm on the prayer team every third week. I teach the kids the big story in the children's ministry every third week. And then whenever we're called, my wife and I are premarital mentors.
Hi there, my name is Ruth. I help out on the preteens. I'm with the grade 6 girls on a Thursday night and on... I think it's the third Sunday. On the 9 o'clock service, I'm on the welcome desk.
Hi, my name is Jill. I help out with the video, the slides, once a month, and also every second week with coffee time. I help out there.
Okay, great. So what motivates you to serve in the church? Why do you serve?
My wife told me.
Very nice. How did you get on this panel? Off.
Well, just for some encouragement for people out there, I wasn't struck with lightning and called to do much of anything. And I'm sure it's a lot easier just to sit there and go like, oh, this is nice. So my wife wanted to serve more. And I just thought, okay, I'll do that with my wife, and I found that I really enjoy everything I do and kind of wouldn't stop it. So.
I'll answer that.
I serve because the Bible says so. And, like, as Christians, we don't, when we read the Bible, we can't just go, that's nice. Like, when Jesus says, like, go out and make disciples of all nations, I really believe that, like, he means it. He means go out and make disciples, like, in everything you do, like, every day. I don't think Jesus calls us to be part-time disciples or just once, like, a week at Sunday. I think when he says, go out and make disciples of all the nations, he means really, like, give your whole life to me because that's what's best for you. And so any time there's an opportunity to serve, like, it's exactly that, an opportunity. I don't see it as a burden, or I don't see it as something that I have to do, but it's a chance for me to get closer to Jesus, and that's what's most important to me.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah.
Part of it for me is community, making knowing more people from the church, but also the coffee time. I sort of stumbled on that. I had a client, a good friend, who was down on his luck, so I brought him to coffee time, and they needed help. They said, do you know anything about spreadsheets? And next thing I knew, I was basically accounting for the cards that we give out. every week to the people that come to Coffee Time. There's a $10 save-on card that we give out. So that's basically how I got involved there. Another thing is I've gone through Celebrate Recovery myself, which is a 12-step program, Christian based on the eight principles, and a big part of that is serving. So, God doesn't waste a hurt, a bad habit, or a hang-up, so that's part of it for me, too. Thanks.
So, Ruth, I have a question for you. You're from England. You're here for a year, in and out, gone again. Why did you decide to serve in our church when you're only here for a year?
We've been involved in churches in the UK before, and I think, going back to what Dick was saying, I think we found that serving has always just been part of our church experience, and when we did it, it enriched our church experience. And so we arrived on the North Shore in August, and we'd come for a week before just to have a look at Vancouver, and to cut a long story short, we ended up here on Sunday morning back in about exactly a year ago today. And really sensed that this is a church that we could plug into. And as part of that, we came with an attitude of we were going to be giving as well as receiving, because that's how we make connections. And we knew we were coming 4,000 miles away from home, in a different time zone, with no friends, no family here already. So church for us was going to be important, to make some connections, to have a community, to be be known and to know people. And part of that for us was serving. And so, and for me, that's where I found quite a lot of the connections I've made is by serving alongside people. I think that answers your question.
Okay, thank you. So, Carolyn, I was going to ask you the question. You work with Alpha. You're working in partnering with people who are new to faith or inquiring about faith. How does that challenge your faith?
In two ways. So people coming to Alpha have lots of questions about faith, about life. You know, they ask things like, how can a loving God allow evil and suffering? Or how can the Bible have so many contradictions and you still believe in it? Things like that. So the first challenge is for me to be prepared, to have answers to the questions that people have. And then the second part of it is, as Alpha goes on, it becomes a real community. People, develop friendships, and people open up about their struggles in life and their hurts. And for me, it's an opportunity for me to look for ways to love them and support them and care for them.
Well, that's great. So for the rest of you, how does serving or in your ministry challenge you or encourage you?
Sweet. So serving is one of those tricky things where you don't really see the goodness of it until you actually do it. And for me, it was just that. Before doing it, I wondered, what's the whole point, you know? We come here and we, help out, but if I don't do it, someone else is going to do it, right? And I found out that that's exactly the opposite is true, because that's what everybody thinks. And sometimes, not even, one person shows up for, youth worship or whatever. And I find that whenever we step out of our comfort zone, especially for me, whenever I step out of what was comfortable for me is when I was directly in the presence of God, where I felt him the most. And whenever I chose to step into just my own comfort and be like, no, I'm going to just leave this and let the professionals, the pastors and whatever handle this, that's when I felt the most lazy. And I felt like the most conviction from the Holy Spirit saying, no, as a body of Christ, besides, probably a university degree, nothing, really sets them apart from you in serving Christ. And there is nothing, Jesus wants me to do this. God wants me to go out and, use my gifts to serve him. So why am I here? It's the best thing for me. It's the best thing for the people I'm serving. Staying back and, just doing what's comfortable for me is simply just, I found was the lazy thing for me. And I needed to really, step up and do what God has asked me.
Mm. Yeah.
I think in terms of encouraging, I think sometimes God has a sense of humor, and I think God's word is God's word, and I think some of the sort of most salient teaching points, the times when I've really felt, gosh, that word is exactly for me, is when I've been sat on the floor listening to a talk for 11-year-olds. And so I think sometimes God can bless you in the most sort of unlikely times as well. That actually it's when you put yourself out there and you're giving, sometimes is when you receive the most. And so that's certainly been the case for me.
So for engineers, I'm actually smiling. I'm really happy. But as a greeter, I actually have to put a big smile on my face. And it just kind of lifts me up to greet all of you. Well, not all of you, because I don't know any of you, because you're 9 o'clock. I'm an 11 o'clock person. So it really just lifts my spirit up when I'm greeting people. And when I can see some connection with kids during the stories I tell, it really encourages me. So,
So is there anything that makes it hard to keep serving? Do you ever get to a place where you're like, oh, I'm done?
No.
Any of you?
Yes. I'm 16 and I'm still going through high school and on the process of figuring out what God has in store for me. And so a lot of times it's hard, especially since we're all sinful, the Bible says. And I'm sure you all know, like, there's like a lot of times I find that I would really be rather like stay at us home and watch Netflix rather than come to preteens, or like do something that just feels fun instead of just like serving at youth worship or faith club. And that's kind of where the rubber hits the road for me. Like every week, I get to make the decision: am I going to like spend my time for Jesus and put myself out there? And a lot of times, like my brokenness, and like I see so many things wrong with me, and I'm like, no, like I shouldn't be doing this because I'm not good enough. Like I'm not good enough for God to be serving in this way. Like I'm not a really gifted communicator, or I'm not really like good in this area. So why am I doing this? But I think that's the point. I think we're all less than perfect leaders in the hands of a more than perfect God. And if we allow him, he's going to use us in incredible ways.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex. I think that's a great ending. Thank you to the panel. Appreciate it. Okay, so before I close, I want to just, you guys are welcome to go before, otherwise I have to talk from the corner. Close, I want to just give you a few facts about serving in our church. And so just for a Sunday morning to run, we need about 10% of the people who are attending to participate. So we need people to work in children's ministry, to make coffee, to be at the welcome desk, to greet, to be on the prayer team, to be on the worship band. So that's about 60 people on a Sunday. And then in our midweek ministries, we have small groups, youth, young adults, connect, preteen, coffee time, journey, and we probably need another 60 or 70 people a week to serve in those ministries to do the things we believe God is calling us to. So about 130 people a week is what we need to do and what we're just doing now on a weekly basis. And then when we have special outreach events, we need more. So many of you serve. Some of you serve like this team weekly or in many different places. But I want to be honest with you, even though we have some great people in our church, the biggest limitation we have for doing what God has called us to do is this value of participation, people stepping up to use their gifts. So we are primarily not limited by our finances. We're not limited by the size of our building. We're not limited by the gifts of our staff, but by the shortage of people who are open to serving in ministries. And that's a hard thing to say. Here's an example of that. We have wanted to host another refugee family, and we have the money to do it, but we don't have a big enough team committed to serving, which is 3 to 5 hours a week for a year. And so we can't host another refugee family. That's just a reality. In children's ministry right now, and we've talked about this a bit, there's a lot of stress for our children's ministry. We're short 19 volunteers on it for a month per month. And so our children's ministry is really quite stressed right now, trying to meet the needs of our growing kids. We've grown about 30% in kids in the last year, and the size of the people willing to serve has shrunk. One of our biggest outreaches of the year is Summer Jam, and we're still short about 30 people to help with Summer Jam. We need a junior games leader. Is anyone here like games? We need a craft leader for Thursday morning, and we need small group leaders, someone who's willing to go around with the kids, to get to know 10 to 12 kids and support them through the week. And most of our ministries, to be honest, could use people to step up, to pray, to serve, to lead, to give of their time and to encourage others. And so in your pew, do you have a half sheet of paper in your pew? Okay, the team is going to hand out, the ushers are going to hand out a half a sheet of paper right now. And on this half a sheet, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to sign up today. And so I know that's really exciting. But what I want to say, there's two options. The first option is to say, hey, I know nothing about serving. I've never served. First step is I need to hear more about what that's about. If you check that off, someone will connect with you. We might have a class. We'll see what happens. But the second section is like, okay, I'm ready to do something. And so if you can circle or underline the specific area you're interested in serving in, areas, if you circle the outreach area, we won't contact you right away, but we'll contact you when that outreach is going to happen. Okay, so I'm going to give you a minute when communion starts to fill that out. So you can just wait for a second. So we are entering into a time of communion now. And communion is a time, everyone's looking at their paper. I'm just going to wait. Stop looking at your papers. Just pay attention for a second. Okay, so we're entering into a time of communion, and that is a time when we remember God's mercy. That while we were enemies of God, Jesus sacrificed himself on our behalf. This is what we're remembering at communion. We have received God's mercy. In Ephesians 2, Paul writes, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." And so in this time of communion, we take a piece of the bread, which represents Christ's broken body. We dip it in the cup, which represents Christ's blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. And as we do this, we remember God's mercy for us, and we thank God for the way he has provided for us. And right now, I just want to invite the communion servers to come forward, and also there'll be a prayer team at the back if you'd like prayer. But what I want to invite you to do is, just before you come up for communion, take a moment to fill out the half sheet of paper, and when you come up, your communion server will have a basket beside them. And when you bring that paper up, what I want to do is invite you to do it in demonstration that you remember God's mercy for you, and that you are offering yourself as a spiritual sacrifice. And part of that is acknowledging that you are part of this body, and as you're part of this body, you're making a choice to participate in what Jesus is calling us as a church to do, that we all own the vision that God has given us, and we all participate in the service. Now, I want to say, if you're not quite ready to do that, it's okay, no pressure. Keep the paper. You can hand it in at the back later. You can bring it next week and put it into the offering. So there's no pressure, but if you are able and willing, we'd love for you to fill that out and to put it in the basket. So let's pray. So Jesus, you are rich in mercy, and you love us, and you have made us your friends. Thank you for your body and your blood that was given for us for the forgiveness of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for this invitation that you have given us to make up your body, to be part of what you are doing in this world, part of your mission to bring your kingdom, your life, your peace, and your flourishing to this world. And so, God, as we come forward with gratefulness in our hearts. We come forward as ones who offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, amen.